We are back for episode 2 of the KREX podcast, Calvin Theological Seminary student podcast. I'm Christiane, your producer, and this time around, I hop on as a co-host with Eric Michael DeLang as we interview second-year MDiv student Christy Bootsma. In this episode, you'll get to hear about Christy's call to ministry, her desire to build up the emotional awareness of the church, and her work with the Women's Advocacy Committee at the seminary, as well as her work with the Office of Leadership Development for Women's and Ethnic Ministry at the CRC Denominational Building this past summer. So one hope that Eric and I had for this podcast when we first started out was that we'd be able to get to know students better and get into more honest conversations with each other. And so for me, this episode was pretty cool because I felt like Christy and I were able to see eye to eye and have fun with each other and have mutual respect for each other, even though we were coming from some differing perspectives, as you'll hear in a little bit. So I hope this episode helps you get to know Christy better, of course, but I hope it's also a great reminder for all of us, and it definitely was for me, to just check our heart postures and to ask God to give us the grace to be able to understand or to even want to understand people we might not always 100% agree with. As always, please make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes and wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss the next episode. And if you'd like to submit questions, comments, or send us submissions for publication, please email krux@calvinseminary.edu. Thanks, and enjoy our conversation with Christy Bootsma.
Should we say welcome to our guest?
Sure. Thanks.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Calvin Seminary podcast.
The KREX podcast.
What did I say? Oh, yeah.
Calvin Seminary
podcast. Oh, yeah. This is specifically the student newspaper KREX Calvin Seminary podcast. Yes. And our guest today is none other than your favorite second year, Christy Bootsma.
Wow. That's such a compliment. Thank you so much.
Yeah. It's every listener's favorite.
Yeah.
You are every listener's favorite.
Wow. Those are like, wow, she's a second year. That's really good to know.
Okay. To my right, Christiane.
It's me, Christiane.
Your favorite.
I just graduated.
Graduate.
But I'm still
here. But you need to be here because you have the wisdom.
Thanks. Kind of. I do audio producing, so I'm usually here quiet in the background like the Holy Spirit. But I'm speaking
the
now.
The Holy Spirit also works in power in signs and wonders, I'll have you know.
Yeah. Amen. We're at a Reformed seminary, man.
That's true. I got to tone that down.
Yeah. Calm down.
Tone it down.
We talk about the Holy Spirit enough.
There's one pneumatology class, and that's where it starts and ends.
There is one. I didn't even know there was one.
I think it might just be a THM thing.
I didn't take it. I actually, that was with Jeff Fisher last year.
Oh, yeah?
I was really bummed that I missed out on that. But anyways.
Christy Bootsma.
Yeah.
You're our guest. And I already said Christiane is to my right, so you're across the table.
I am.
We're kind of panel interviewing you. I hope that's not too weird.
It's okay.
Both of us on this side looking across the aisle.
Yep.
I'm not that easily intimidated, I don't think.
Oh, good.
We'll test that.
Sort
right
of a
now.
Round table. And it is kind of a triangle, really. What
it's
are your thoughts?
Is yeah. What that is.
It's a Trinitarian. That's why you have to be here. Oh, I guess.
To
but I
make
guess,
up the Trinity.
But I guess, like you said, the Holy Spirit is the one who points to the other two.
Okay.
All right, let's be done with this.
Yeah, I'm going to drop that.
Heresy.
Okay.
Second-ish episode of the student podcast. Christy, welcome. Tell me some of your story. How'd you get here?
Sweet. So I was born and raised in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And
I was about to say a different version of heck yeah. So I decided to go with heck yeah.
Thanks.
Sorry. Heck yeah for Edmonton, Alberta.
Yes, Edmonton, Alberta. You say that you have some Edmonton ties.
I do.
As well.
I was there for 2 years.
Yeah.
I loved it and then it got too cold, so I left.
Oh, yeah. I'm here and it's too warm, so we're figuring that out still.
The humidity is wild.
It is crazy. The most surprising thing is that here, after it rains, it's more humid. Where
right.
In Edmonton, if it rains, you walk outside and you're like, I can breathe again.
Mm-hmm.
It is the opposite here and,
not and it's like
enjoyable.
And it's muggy at like 10 p.m. on like September 15th. You're like outside and you're like, I still feel kind of like I'm in a greenhouse and the sun is gone. So you're in Edmonton, Alberta.
Edmonton, Alberta. I went to the King's University for undergrad. I majored in psychology and it was after my first year. I went into undergrad not knowing at all what I wanted to do. I was like, psychology sounds like a word. I don't know what that means, but I think it has to do with people. So I'm going to try that. And I did. And I fell in love with it. And it was after my first year of undergrad that I felt God calling me to go into ministry. It was really interesting looking back now. I had no concept for what doing ministry was other than being a pastor. And so I'm like, yeah, I'll be a pastor. What does it take to be a pastor? And so I...
This was in your... You said your first or second year of
undergrad?
Yeah,
right after my first year of undergrad.
Cool.
And so I went to the associate pastor at my church at that point, and I said, God has called me to this. I have surrendered to this call. What do I do? So we started talking about seminary and what that looks like and what it looks like to get more involved in the church. And then all of a sudden I was like, but wait, doesn't this denomination kind of have something?
Wasn't this weird thing in the 90s that we like don't talk about anymore?
Like, what about women in ministry?
Yeah.
It hadn't crossed my mind before that point. Mm. And
oh, wow. Were they supportive? Was your church like really supportive of women that you just didn't even
so,
think about it?
Yes and no. My church, for as long as I can remember, we'd always had female elders and deacons. But I think I'd only ever heard one female preacher in my entire life. I had no concept for what a female pastor was. And so to then suddenly be hit with this realization of, oh, I guess I need to talk about this. Like, what does this mean? And essentially at that point, he was like, well, yeah, but like you're called. Go. Like, this is, we're here for you.
Heck yeah.
And so there was the majority of the people around me were absolutely 100% supportive. I think for some of my older relatives, it was a little bit of a mental shift in terms of I'm sure there were things that were unsaid as they began to process that and come to terms with what that looks like for them to want to support me, but kind of be face to face with, I guess, maybe questions they hadn't necessarily answered for themselves. So after that point, I kept taking all opportunities for ministry I could. I fell in love with working for the church and just being able to talk to people and wrestle with theology. I decided to minor in theology, and so got my toes dipped in some of that stuff.
Psychology major still? You did that all throughout?
Yeah, cool. I decided to stick with the psychology major, and I think that was really good for me. I wrestled with that as to whether or not I wanted to just switch to being a theology major. And I knew how much I loved doing psychology and studying psychology, what the brain and the body and the relationship and the way we interact with one another and the way we make meaning in this world, like all of that is so fascinating to me. And to be able to hold that not opposed to theology, but being able to hold them together and say, how do these fit together? How has God created us in a way that our minds and our bodies and our relationships and then all of that is so, so beautifully designed by God?
Yeah, and intertwined.
Yeah, especially in terms of think of things on like the counseling side of psychology is something that prepared me in a unique way to step into not only studying psychology, but working in ministry. I'm really grateful for the way I've been able to make meaning in what I believe and how God speaks to me, and recognizing the fact that God speaks to me in so many different ways. And I think that being able to study psychology gave me space for that.
Right on. That's awesome. Can we give a shout out to your home church?
Yeah. So I grew up in Bethel Community Church.
Nice. Yes. Is that with Bruce?
No.
Oh, okay. No, that's the river, I think, or something like that.
Yeah. Tom is our...
Tom Baird?
Head pastor. Yeah, Tom Baird
is our
head pastor.
And this
shout out to Tom.
This is the guy you talked to when you found the call in first
Tom
year.
Was our head pastor. The pastor that I talked to is Ryan Petey.
Oh, I know him too.
Yeah. He has since planted a church in Edmonton.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Just up north of Edmonton, right?
Yeah, right outside of Edmonton. They're just establishing that still. So that's really exciting to see what that church is up to.
So you have the call already back then. You've been on this cool journey, psychology, theology, all that kind of stuff. And then you jump into life at the seminary. Has that been confirming? Has it been disconfirming? How has the Holy Spirit worked in all of this?
Seminary.
Yeah. What has the Spirit been doing in your life? And also then your sense of call. Like, I came here being like, yeah, I'm called to ministry. Wow. Like, it came really late in the game for me. Like, in fact, 2 weeks before classes started. But then when I got here, I was like convinced, like, God has called me to this thing. But then I was like, oh, but that is still... There's like chaplaincy, there's like college chaplaincy, there's hospital chaplaincy, there's like lead pastor, associate pastor. Any thoughts on that stuff?
Right. I think an important part of my story is before I decided to come to Calvin.
Okay, yeah.
It was around my last year of undergrad, I essentially had two schools that I was deciding between. So it was Calvin or Regent, which is in Vancouver, which you know a lot about. Funny how we both ended up here.
It is true. Last year. It is true. Regent
so
College.
So of course, Regent being in Canada and a lot closer to home, I have family in the area. There was a lot of those kinds of like personal factors that made it look very appealing, but also they're just like the open-mindedness. I went to visit the school and it was very welcoming. It was like, it's a great community there. And I was pretty set. I was set on going to Regent. And I decided, I was like, you know what? I'm going to make this fair. I'll give Calvin a chance. I want to visit and see. I had this concept in my head of the seminary being closed off. I knew a lot of the tensions with women being in ministry. And I guess I'd started to prepare my heart to like bunker down, I suppose. And so, but I wanted to give it a chance. And so I decided to come and visit and see for myself what it actually meant. And I was so delightfully surprised by not only just the people here and how wonderful this community was just from the couple of hours that I had spent here, but also like the diversity was so appealing. And sitting for lunch with Dr. Burge, I don't even think he knows what an important piece this was for me. I sat talking to him over lunch and I saw that he had a tattoo. And he wasn't from the Christian Reformed Church, but he was here and teaching, and the passion that he talked about the school and what he taught. I was just, it was such a beautiful example of what I knew that this place actually was.
Nice.
And that a lot of my preconceived notions were born out of fear. So I left this place with a newfound confidence, but then also realizing, oh, now I know I have two very good options. I don't know what I want to do. It took a long time for me and a lot of discerning before I realized, well, I guess before I admitted to myself, I was afraid to come to Calvin because there's a certain amount of me, I would say then, but also still now, that is just so uncertain with what the Christian Reformed Church is.
I think the Christian Reformed Church is uncertain what the Christian Reformed Church is right now. There's a lot of questions in the air.
And it got to the point where God told me, not in words, in my soul, in how the Lord speaks to me, it's like, Christy, stop running away from what scares you. Don't run away from what you're afraid of. And there was, I've come to realize since that point, like a year and a half later, how much of a call that has been for me since that decision to come here, since moving here, being here for a year, embracing what the Christian Reformed Church is, recognizing the blessing and value of having grown up in it and having that tradition, having that sense of home, but also the ability to take a step back and say, I know it's not perfect. I can recognize the fault lines. I can see the cracks. We have to stop ignoring the cracks. And so if part of me being here is an ability to say, let's talk about these things. Let's talk about the things we don't want to talk about. Like, that's been a big part of my call to be here and to almost re-embrace the Christian Reformed Church.
That's so cool.
Wait, so just to clarify, are you still wanting to be a pastor? I think you had said before that that was the only view you had. And so is that something you're still pursuing, or is it something else?
I had to learn to give myself some distance with the term pastor, to be able to give God space to work in my heart, to let go of this concept of what I thought ministry was, to be able to fill myself with, like, what is ministry really? Because what does it take to be a pastor? What does it take to be a chaplain? What does it take to be a church planter? Like, so many different areas of ministry that I know I can step forward into. And so at this point, I am still holding that out in front of me. I don't know. I think I'm right now, I'm leaning away from the idea of a traditional congregational pastor and a little bit more excited by I guess, like, big picture sort of denominational type ministry and dreaming and just discovering big picture mission of what God is doing in God's church.
Yeah, let's talk about that then, because you had a really cool summer.
I did. So I got to do my cross-cultural internship at the CRC denominational building with leadership development. That's women's and ethnic ministry.
Cool.
I was, first of all, stepping into that building and that kind of culture of just, I guess there's this kind of haze, like no one really knows what goes on in that building unless you're in that building. Okay. And I think that really intimidates a lot of people. And so it was really cool to be able to take a step in and to meet and build relationships with people who work in so many different areas of ministry at the denominational level. And I did a lot of like wonderful and great and life-giving work with especially with women's ministry. But I think for me to be able to be in that space and have conversations with people who are so passionate about the church and their area of the church, and to see like the grassroots of like what are churches doing? How can we spread that across this denomination? How are we discerning what God is doing in this denomination? And also, how are we holding out the hurt that has happened? And how are we recognizing the fear that we are living with?
Right.
The fear that's driving us right now in this church. Like those spaces for me and those conversations are really, those are really exciting. And those get me really passionate.
Yeah, you guys just launched the women's website just like before the summer, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I saw that on
Twitter.
Cool.
Yeah.
I haven't checked it up again, but like what are some things that you guys are like doing to try to help this, you know, to try to get the word out? Because like, has it just recently started?
Yeah. Too? So the Office of Leadership Development, and so that's women's and ethnic ministry, has only existed for just over 3 years,
oh, wow.
I believe. So it's, yeah, so it's really new.
Super new.
Yes. And so having the website and just getting word out there is still part of what this process is looking like. But so Denise Posey is the one who is the...
Shout out to Denise.
Shout out to Denise. She was absolutely amazing. Oh my goodness. Best mentor ever. She, yes, oh my gosh, I could talk hours about how fantastic Denise is. She is very passionate about understanding what people are already doing and to be able to walk alongside and support alongside not only ministries that are happening in churches, but especially female pastors and how female pastors are being supported and supporting one another.
Mm-hmm.
A big piece, too, is then identifying where that's not happening and establishing, I guess, a kind of framework for or just an understanding of where those holes are, because that's, you don't want to go in helping somebody if you don't know what actually needs helping. And so there's a bit of a tension. It's kind of a both and. I feel like especially women in the Christian Reformed Church in ordained ministry and in levels of leadership, I feel like there's a recognition of hurt and pain that goes on from a denomination that can choose whether or not to support women
in
ministry.
That's hard.
And so there's a recognition of that tension, and people want to know about that and want women to share that. But there's a point where we share so much. When is something going to get done? Like, when are we going to do something? And so I think the women's ministry right now feels that tension in that Denise, as the leader of that, wants to know how she and this ministry can help and walk alongside. But it's a delicate balance between I need to know what's going on, but I need to do. Sometimes we need to stop asking and we just need to do something. And I think that's one of the tensions that I felt. And especially because those conversations, they can't happen everywhere in this denomination. There's not all spaces are safe spaces for that.
Yep.
And so it's very exciting that this is something that is established and is moving forward. But like all ministry, at times it's slow.
Yeah.
And frustrating.
And painful. I like the way you described the difference between, so like in your story, like Regent, Calvin, and I went to Regent for 3 years too. And it is very much this like big, big ideas. Mm. Like you're floating in the clouds every lecture, you know, with these like huge concepts. And then coming here to the SEM, and it really is like we're on the ground floor now. Like we are talking about things that matter to like particular churches. We're not talking about speculating about the doctrine of the Trinity in some kind of like abstract way. We're like actually talking about how, you know, these frustrations and pain and like what does it take to run a church. And so I think that's really cool.
Right.
And that's cool that you feel called to that kind of ministry.
Yeah. It can be easy to get stuck in some of those details. Mm. And I've had to come to the realization that God has given me this gift, this personality of this big picture kind of thinking. And
yep.
I can name that and recognize that as a blessing and say, this is part of who God has made me to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does that look like for me in ministry? What does that look like for me walking forward in this call God has put on my life? Yeah, where's there space for a thinker like me?
That's awesome. And you're mm-hmm. awesome also that you're in your second year and you're already getting involved in that. I like that's yeah. an option that like the seminary gave us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like not just get an MDiv and then do stuff, but like you're doing
right.
stuff and
yeah.
we're doing stuff and we're learning as we go. And I guess that's what like ministry is going to be like too. There's going to be a lot of learning as we go once we graduate too, so.
Yeah.
And you're also on the Women's Advocacy Committee here at the Student Senate.
Yes. Yeah, I am. It's important for this space, a place of learning, to be safe for mm-hmm. people of all genders. And I say that and also feel the need to say I have had an absolutely amazing experience at this place as a woman. And it's one of those things, like one of those, I was like getting ready, preparing myself
right.
for the hardships, and I'd have to fight for myself.
Yeah.
And I have found so many allies and so many places of support
mm-hmm.
and people who want to know how to make this place better. And so there's just wonderful conversations that I've been able to be a part of, and just the attitude and recognition that it can be hard, and it has been in the past, and we're going to recognize that it has been in the past. So what are we continuing to do? How are mm-hmm. we continuing to recognize that now?
I think that's a good question. Like, so, or I mean, that's like a question that comes to my mind. What are some things the Women's Advocacy Committee is doing?
Mm-hmm.
That is interesting.
That's a good
We're
question.
We're in planning stage.
That's a really good question. Yeah, I think we're getting maybe clear on that, on like the mandate. We don't advocate for women's ordination. We advocate
right.
for this being a hospitable place.
Mm. Oh, I see.
Particularly,
see, I didn't even know that.
Right.
Particularly at the seminary or in the denomination in general?
The seminary.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I think at this point, I think it's more reactionary than like proactive in terms of what do we want. But then again, there hasn't always been spaces for women to ask for what they need
mm-hmm.
necessarily. So I'm encouraged by seeing things like the infant care room.
Isn't that great? That was so helpful for me.
Yeah. And it's just like the fact that that hasn't existed, that it hadn't been thought of before. Like just mm-hmm. and recognizing that fact that that's the way to make this place hospitable.
That's great.
I think it's good.
Yeah.
I just think it's I appreciate hearing another female finally saying that they felt supported at the seminary because I felt like when I first came in, there was just like so many women here who were just saying that it was like so terrible. But that was never my experience. I always felt like I was almost like over supported for being a female here studying to do ministry.
Right.
And so for you to say that, I think is pretty cool, because I think the seminary really does try to help out women.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost think, and I'd like to hear your opinion on this, I almost think sometimes some men are afraid to even speak out who don't support maybe women mm-hmm. in ministry. And it's like the goal isn't to like shut them down. Like the women's advocacy, I hope, is not just be like, you're a piece of crap.
No,
you know,
no.
Like you need to, you know, support us or else. It's like hopefully facilitating that conversation to even happen. Like,
yeah.
Well, I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm crossing topics here because you're saying it's not for women's ordination. It's just
right.
to make women feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Here.
I'd imagine, though, like creating space to have conversation about that is really important. And when you think about the pendulum swing, because I know I've heard of the culture in the past of women at the seminary has not been overly supportive. And there has been a very, and I want to say very intentional culture shift.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
In which we are supported and we have space, and especially from staff, faculty, like the more big picture stuff. I think the pendulum, there's a threat that the pendulum's swinging too far the other direction. Because I do, that's something I think if I was someone who disagreed with women in ministry, I don't know if I would feel like I had space to speak out about what I believe. And so that's like, that's not the point.
Right.
If we're stopping conversations, like we're going from one conversation not being had to now just another conversation not being had. Like, that's not the point.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's not how we live together as the body of Christ.
Mm.
That's not what we want. We want to be able to have conversations where we respect each other enough to say, I can disagree with you, but we can still talk about this. We can still have some sort of relationship. So that's, I think, that's what's important to me, absolutely.
Yeah, see, I think that's good hearing that come from you, who is actually on the Women's Advocacy Committee, because I think maybe what is being heard by some of the men, and maybe some women, I don't know if they all support women in ordination specifically, like, maybe they feel like the Advocacy Committee is just like, you know, that group that goes on campus that like shuts down every other conversation, and I wonder if there's like a way to kind of make it known that we're actually here to like facilitate conversation instead of shutting it down.
Yeah, I think, and I think that's absolutely, that's really good to recognize too, even as like, as this committee is establishing what work we want to do and what that looks like, and the kind of involvement that we want from other students as well.
That's sweet. That thanks for being open about all that. I think this is an important conversation. I remember our first, I don't know about you, but I was very intimidated for our first orientation week. What was your feelings, Christy, for orientation week?
Yeah.
I've only like started feeling comfortable talking about this with other friends in our cohort. And from what I've gathered from the first years, I think they've maybe changed it. It's like you say, the pendulum swing. I think we were the first year where they were like, okay, we have to have hard conversations. It was sort of like having our parents talk to us about sex, and we're just like,
you all just kind of sit there silently.
Yeah, no, like, you're right. That's right. Okay, yeah. What are all the different ways that I'm making microaggressions right now that I haven't even... anyway, it was very scary.
I feel like that week was so overwhelming. I probably like repressed it way deep down.
I'm glad as well to hear that you also were overwhelmed too, because I've talked to other dudes that were like, oh shoot, like what, am I allowed to say anything to a woman? Like, it was really scary. And as much as I try at least to be kind of like a left-leaning person and be like progressive and stuff, but I was like, what? Anyway, so I feel like we're all collectively getting over the PTSD of that week. it was like second semester where I was like, okay, I feel like I can talk to people without it being weird.
Oh, see, but we don't want to, I mean, I don't think any seminary should have that kind of environment, though, where people are just afraid to have an opinion, you know?
That's like, right.
Yeah.
I mean, don't go up to a woman and, you know, call her some specific names. And,
well,
you know, there's a difference, right, between having a theological opinion that is based on the Bible versus just treating someone like crap because they're a female or something, you know? And so...
And I think that's the part that our class missed. Like, I think we just missed, as... like you mentioned, the culture shifting. I think our class missed all of the context, because I think there was like actually hurtful comments that were made. There was like some pretty intense like just like racial divides and things like that.
It has not always been a safe space for any kind of minority. And the seminary is recognizing that, and that's what's important, to be able to say we're not going to ignore things that have happened. But yeah, when you walk in and you're like, wow, this is such a great place, and they're like, watch out for this, and you're like, oh, okay. But it's, like, what's more important is establishing a relationship with someone to be able to say, like, hey, can you tell me about this? I like to have a good friend of mine sit down with me and say, hey, I'm not actually sure what I believe. What do you think about this? Or how did your thinking shift? And it's like that the relationship is so key in those contexts. And I don't want to say that in informing people of biases and informing people of those hidden things that we don't necessarily aren't necessarily aware of. Like, that's important, too, because, there are microaggressions in the classroom. There are times when men mansplain something that a woman just said. There are times when a female student is speaking, they will get cut off. But
by a guy who says the exact same thing. I like had that happen in my class the other day. I was like, what's going on?
And to be able to say that and recognize that, and still, when we talk about all of humanity, we still say men, and in the grand scheme of life, like, it's not the be-all end-all, but over time, like, little by little, those things add up, And when you feel that every single day, these are things that we all want to be aware of together. Mm-hmm. And that's like, even like, I make mistakes too. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're all perfect, but we're, when we can establish those kinds of things together and recognize the person before their whatever agenda, their issue, their thing they stand for, Christy and the women's whatever. Like, it's just Christy. Like, that's what it is. But yeah, this is something that's really important to me. So I would love to be able to talk to you about it.
Yeah. That's awesome. And again, I want to affirm like that posture, because for one, I think some people do want to talk to women about this kind of thing, but like some women are too sensitive. Like if you even question and say something like, hey, like I don't really support like a women in ministry right now. Like let's say a dude sat across from me at a table and said that to me, genuinely seeking to like learn. And then I just get so offended. I'm like, wow, how dare you, you're a sexist, you know. And some women do like react like that. I'm not talking, you know, just at the seminar, like it could be, I don't,
oh yeah, in any context,
any female in any church context. And we need to be able to have kind of this ability to have that self-control over our emotions and to check ourselves and to be like, this person is actually seeking to learn, and I want to be able to engage that too. Mm-hmm. So like in the same way where you're saying other people should be willing to like come up and kind of like wrestle with that, we should also, I think, be willing to recognize that not everyone's is supporting us in ministry, and that's okay. But if they're seeking to learn, like, let's engage that instead of just getting mad and throwing out some names, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like where I'm at right now. Like, mm-hmm. I would also love to have those conversations with people. I'm also still wrestling with some of these questions myself. And as like a woman, I almost feel like I'm not even allowed to ask that question. Mm. To other females, like I'm actually kind of scared sometimes to talk about it, because they'll take it as like, oh, like you're not supporting my call in ministry. It's like, no, man, like I'm just trying to seek out what God is saying. And so to be able to do that freely, I think for both sides,
yeah,
I think would be so good just for this conversation. And it would do so much.
Oh, definitely. I think there's an element of demand on women to defend themselves. Like, I'm asking you because you need to defend your position.
Oh, I see.
It is very different to come up to someone and say, hey, this is something I'm struggling with. I'd really like to know your perspective, how you've made meaning of this. Hmm. Instead of saying, so what is your perspective on women?
Like, yeah, okay, I feel like, you.
It's
you're cool with women in office, right?
Yeah. You know, tell me about that. Do you not know what happened to Synod? Do you not know that we voted?
Have you read the Bible before?
Have you read this and this and this?
Oh, man.
So it's
oh, that's awful.
Yeah, recognizing that it's the posture that you're approaching it with, and there's a humbling that has to happen when you want to approach it in an open-minded way.
Yeah.
Dude, I feel so good right now. Okay, I'm not gonna lie. I like, because you come off as so like hardcore feminist. Like, I'm not even gonna lie. I'm like, no, if I wanted to talk to you about anything,
oh, my goodness,
feminism or like women in office and me still wrestling, Eric is like cracking up here. I was like scared.
Just getting real, just getting real.
Get real on the pod, man.
With our guests.
Exactly.
Anyway.
This is why I'm a terrible host. I'm just like too honest right now. But like, I was kind of scared because I kind of thought if I talked to you about some of this stuff, you would just like totally be upset at me. But I feel like now I could talk to you about some of the things that I'm wrestling with.
Yeah.
And then you would just be like more open to talking to me. Mm. So I kind of appreciate it. Like, I'm feeling this right now. So thanks.
Yeah. And I need to recognize too, like, I apologize that I want to be the type of person who creates space for that.
Oh, don't apologize. I think maybe that's like a stereotype I need to get out of my head. Like, I'm becoming aware of like my own stuff even as we speak. Like, dude, am I judging women who are on the advocacy committee or like women at the seminary? Maybe they're just like gung-ho, or maybe I had a one bad experience with a super feminist theologian chick, and then I was like, I'm never talking to one of those again. So maybe I need to
one of those.
I will say I'm 100% hardcore feminist.
Yeah.
And if that word scares you, we also should have a conversation, because that word does not mean what you think it means.
I am one of those, Christy.
I am one of those.
Sorry.
No, sorry. What is amazing to me right now, this it was ultimately like our heart and like our prayer for the podcast, right? Mm. Because there's all of these conversations that like aren't happening at the seminary. Like,
we're so afraid. And we're so stuck.
Yeah. So this is so cool that we got to have this moment live. And I want to say thank you, Christy, for sharing like so vulnerably the struggle and walking, like highlighting that tension so well that I think so many people feel, right? Because you do want to advocate for women, and you want to, like, of course.
Yeah.
But then, how is that perceived, and how you get perceived in that, and all that kind of stuff. That was really well put. And yeah. And thanks for being real, co-host. Just getting into it. I was actually thinking at one point in the podcast, because we were talking before we started recording about, like, the three of us were talking before we started recording about what we should get into, and should we have like a get into an issue moment in the middle of the podcast. And
oh, no.
We had it naturally.
That's just how it naturally progresses.
Okay. I thought you were gonna throw one in.
I was just
there
gonna
right
toss
now.
One in.
I was like,
no, we're gonna close.
Since we just got super heavy with one of the last things that's on the agenda for a podcast episode is, like, what's something you want to, like, tell your peers? What's something you want to put out there for people to know about you or about the seminary, or just, like, what you want to push? Like, hey, like, guys, let's go to pub night every Friday night. That's my push.
Got it.
But so it can be as simple as that too. Any thoughts for your fellow students, or if the thought is as simple as you guys are great, keep being great.
You guys are great. Keep being great. Keep doing great. What you're doing. This is good stuff. I don't know. I strive for authenticity, and I want to be open and safe space for other people to be authentic too. And if this community, if this place can be a place of authenticity, I feel like that's where the Holy Spirit is present. That's where you hear and witness to and feel the Holy Spirit. So I guess that's be authentic, friends.
Like how you trailed off at the end there.
No, that's awesome.
Gotta fix that. Please fix that. I could say it again if you want it to be nicer, actually.
I love
have my
that.
Thoughts.
The authentic friend. I think that, no.
The
I think
authentic friends.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you, Christy. Thank you for so much for being on the pod. This has been such an awesome episode.
I appreciate you guys reaching out. And yeah, you guys are awesome hosts. I like what you're doing here. We'll be right back.